Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, June 12th, 2015, and on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the war in Iraq and Syria, war against the Islamic State, or ISIL as the president likes to call it. How does the war go today? 1 year ago, this very week, forces of the Islamic State captured the Iraqi city of Mosul, and along with it, a great cache of American weapons, and the central bank of Mosul, which they looted, getting hundreds of billions of dollars in gold and cash. Fallout from the loss of Mosul is still being felt. The war has intensified with the breakup of Iraq, now a real possibility. Conditions in the area seem ready for the spark that will eventually ignite a broader war, possibly involving Iran and Saudi Arabia. For hundreds of years, Shias and Sunnis have hated and fought each other, and now, with various strongmen removed from power and with the U.S. presence weakened, the region seems to be priming for a big region-wide war. Of course, that is certainly no great prediction. Predicting war is not difficult, is it? It's been pretty solid for the past 100 years. The success of the Islamic State's offensive 1 year ago caught the administration by surprise, and President Obama was embarrassed by his frank admission that he had no strategy for dealing with them. This week, President Obama again acknowledged that the U.S. strategy has not been fully developed. Quote, "We don't have yet a complete strategy because it requires commitments on the part of the Iraqis as well. The details are not worked out," end quote. President Obama has been criticized by Middle East experts such as Robert Gates for not having a strategy. Former Secretary of Defense under Bush and Obama, Mr. Gates said, quote, "We really don't have a strategy at all. We're basically just playing this day by day," end quote. President Obama is obviously counting on his new friends in Iran to stabilize the region. It's kind of a dichotomy, isn't it? In one place we oppose Iran, in another place we help them, in another place we depend on them. The U.S. has, in the years since Mosul fell, poured money, weapons, and military advisors into Iraq, but the Islamic State holds more territory than ever, and it looks like another long, drawn-out war. So into that cauldron, the president has decided to commit another 450 U.S. troops, bringing the total boots on the ground, which are not really boots on the ground, he says, to 3,550. His own Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, remarked after the city of Ramadi fell to the Islamic State a couple of weeks ago that, quote, "the Iraqi army does not have the will to fight," end quote. So we try harder to instill the will to fight into an army that does not have that will and into the various Sunni tribes that might support it, if not for the anti-Sunni policies of the Iraqi government. So, according to the New York Times, the 450 additional troops will be taking over a military base in Anbar province, currently occupied by Shia militias. Their mission will be to train the regular Iraqi army as well as Sunni tribes. This is interesting because the Iranians have been using Shia militias pretty effectively against the Islamic State. They like them better than they do the regular Iraqi army, but we are kicking them out of their bases to train Sunnis. So, the U.S. is coming to terms with the shortcomings of the Iraqi army. It has invested so much blood and treasure in building for many, many years. A long campaign of U.S.-led airstrikes and military training has not been able to degrade the Islamic State forces to any great extent. The Iraqis retreated from Ramadi a couple of weeks ago and left their U.S. weapons to the victors, so things have not been going well. The new American base will station U.S. forces less than 20 miles from Ramadi. I suppose we have to trust U.S. commanders to not put 450 American soldiers in a vulnerable position and exposed to 10,000 enemy soldiers. General Martin Dempsey says more bases. He is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by the way. He says more bases could be established near the front lines in Iraq. These are more non-boots on the ground, so we involve ourselves. We are going little by little back to Anbar and back to Iraq. Retired Marine Corps General John Allen now serves as U.S. envoy to the coalition fighting the Islamic State. He told an audience at a conference in Qatar recently, last week, that it will be, quote, a long campaign, and defeating its ideology will take, quote, a generation or more. Defeating its ideology will take a generation or more, General Allen said. What's interesting, though, is what he didn't say. A long campaign using these tactics is what he didn't say. A generation is what, folks? 40 years? That's optimistic, I would say, because that ideology has been in existence a lot longer than that, and it still has not been defeated. Perhaps we will have to spend some time putting back together the Middle East we've spent the last 25 years tearing apart, unless it is all part of an intentional scheme for a broader, unseen purpose. It has been the stupidest strategy ever employed by a great nation in the history of diplomacy and warfare. Stupid or not, though, we have to deal with the world as it exists. As it exists now, not with an imaginary world we would like to exist. Finally, folks, will the United States sit by and allow the Islamic State to tear apart and capture the ruins of Syria and Iraq? If not, what is the U.S. prepared to do to stop it? That's the question of the day, isn't it? At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.